From KLCC Studios, this is Oregon on the Record.
I'm Michael Dunn. Under normal circumstances, being the mayor of a medium-sized city like Eugene is a job that combines cheerleading, consensus reaching, and community building. But under these most unusual times, it now seems to involve crisis management not with, but against the federal government. Today on the show, Mayor Karen Knutson joins us to talk about how she and her team are trying to both hold space for protests against ICE and the federal government while also working hard to ensure public safety. It's a real balancing act, made even harder when you don't have any kind of support or partnership with federal law enforcement. And when the president himself sends out an inaccurate social media post about Eugene, it makes the mayor's job all that much harder. That's next on Oregon on the Record. Being mayor requires a level head and an even keel. But as you can tell in this interview with Karen Knutson, there's a good deal of anger about what's happening with ICE in our community. Eugene Mayor Karen Knutson, thanks so much for coming in and talking with us.
Thanks so much for having me, Michael. It's great to be here.
So a lot's going on. And you're, you know, obviously being the mayor, you're kind of at the center of it. We've had and are having a lot of protests going on in our city. I just kind of wanted to start with your view of it all. You know, from however you want to take it, philosophical, logistical, what are you seeing and what's been your impression of it all?
Sure. And thank you for that wide open opportunity to talk a little bit about what we're experiencing in our community and how it connects to a lot of other communities across this country. I think it's pretty safe to say that what we are seeing here and what we were seeing all across the United States is everyday members of community who are horrified by the actions of their federal government. And the recent actions and the recent shootings of two people exercising their constitutional rights by federal agents, I think has left a lot of people with a real feeling of the depth of injustice has sort of reached a new sub-basement and a real desire to see accountability and transparency at the federal level. We have not seen this Congress, led by its majority, have much interest in oversight, but I am very hopeful that with sustained mass peaceful protest across this country, that that branch of our government, which we very much need to do their duties, will, you know, get in the game, so to speak, and take up, you know, the oversight and responsibilities that they have. A lot of people in our community are looking, I think, for ways to process the very traumatic information that they have received. And we are all able to gather a lot of information through our phones and through social media. The work that legal observers are doing to document these injustices is incredibly important. And it also moves us into another part of this uncharted territory, which is that, you know, these are traumatic events that we are all witnessing and, you know, unnecessary tragedies. And we have to, you know, just keep working together to find our way through it. I do think it's incredibly important that we as a community continually recommit to the work of peaceful protest and to our efforts locally to reach out and rebuild the bonds of community that we can see real efforts underway to tear apart. I think the ways in which our immigrant community, our Spanish-speaking community, our migrant neighbors, and our trans community members have been bearing the brunt of the persecution advanced by this administration is a tactic to divide us. And what is very important to me is that our community understands that the violations of people's rights, as a part of a subgroup of our largest communities, is a violation of all of our rights. And people need to understand the seriousness of the times that we're in.
Yeah. So, Mayor, we're speaking this Monday morning, and a lot of stuff happened over the weekend. I wanted to get your reaction and for you to talk about a few things that happened. Let's start with Friday night, because obviously there was a protest that the police had to declare a riot because of some damage and folks entering the federal building. Maybe just talk about that and talk about, you know, what you had heard, what you had seen, and kind of how it fits in with your narrative about peaceful protest.
Sure. So Friday, long before there was a declaration of a riot, there was a really beautiful, peaceful protest in downtown. A lot of that was organized by some of our local youth. We also had a day of solidarity across our metro area, and many small businesses had closed or dedicated their proceeds to solidarity efforts and efforts to support people and communities who have been impacted by ICE activities. And so Friday as a day, you know, there were a lot of things that were really positive, and I heard from a lot of people and saw, you know, kids and families, very young children, grandparents heading over to that protest in the afternoon. And that was a positive experience and a good example up until a point of peaceful protest and how powerful it can be. Yeah. People on both sides of the streets waving, you know, really great signs and standing together. And that was positive. Later in the evening and after sundown, there was a riot that needed to be declared because the circumstances changed. And I've tried to be very clear, and our entire city has tried to be very clear, that we're really focused on the safety of our community members and on de-escalation. And we have not been dealing with circumstances where we've had a partner interested in de-escalation or trained to address circumstances without using force in ways that are completely disorienting to our community and inappropriate. So when that happened on Friday night, it was because windows were broken at the federal building. And there have been different reports about the breaking of those windows, but the information that we received was that windows were broken, that people were attempting to enter the building. Since that time, I've heard reports from other people who were there protesting saying, you know, that the federal agencies also broke one of the windows. As mayor, I can just clarify that it was the breaking of the windows and the significant change in that circumstance which made it much more dangerous. And our Eugene police, I'm really appreciate them, I'm grateful to them, stepped in to form essentially a barrier between the FPS folks who were inside the building and the protesters who were there outside of the building. And Eugene police stayed in that sort of barrier formation until the federal agencies had their reinforcements arrive from Portland. The purpose of that barrier was to keep our community safe and to literally create a separation in a circumstance where we did not want two things coming together and anyone in our community suffering the consequences.
Yeah. It was interesting. The President of the United States sent out a post about the action. And I just want to get your reaction, because he said something like, you know, that massive damage was done to the building. And he also, I think, took aim at the police and said they did nothing. What's your reaction to that?
I don't think the president had accurate information at all about what life on the ground in our community was like on Friday, or probably what life on the ground is like in Eugene and Oregon and a lot of different communities where there are being statements made about, you know, American citizens and neighbors being violent. People are exercising their constitutional rights and peacefully protesting. For the vast majority of these circumstances are completely constitutionally provided to all of us and are completely lawful. So, you know, I want to continue encouraging people in our community who are thinking about, you know, creative, strategic, collective response. How we get through this is largely going to depend on continued, sustained, you know, mass efforts and collective efforts, mass protest. So that, I think, you know, was of course unfortunate. It's a strange time that you would not want your city's name to be referenced, you know, by the President of the United States. And, you know, also what was said wasn't accurate, because Obviously, our local law enforcement are professionals. They have great training, layers of accountability and transparency in their work. And they stepped in, they protected people, they secured and stabilized the situation. And the situation has only been unstable at that site when it has been only the federal agencies engaging with our community members. I will also say for Friday night, I have real concerns about the reports and some of the videos that I'm seeing of munitions, pepper balls, and tear gas, you know, being sprayed far from that building and far from that property. I realize there is fuzzy area in federal standards or law, I guess, because of some of the executive actions taken by this president. But people have the right to peacefully protest, and there should not be tear gas flying across the street and onto adjacent properties or pepper balls heading over the right-of-way.
Our state's executive was in town, and I know you met with Governor Kotek. Talk about the meeting that you had.
Sure. So we organized a press conference for our community, came together very quickly, essentially did that on Saturday night, and very much appreciate Governor Kotek's willingness to be here with us in Eugene. Also, U.S. Representative Congresswoman Hoyle was here with us, Senator Manning, Senator Przanski, Representative Lively, Commissioner Senega, a couple of our city councilors, Councilor Yeh and Councilor Kaczynski, and a whole group of community leaders who, you know, I was able to just reach out to incredibly quickly on Saturday night and ask, you know, if they could join us early Sunday morning. That moment of solidarity for our community, I think, was important. I think it is important that Oregonians see the impacts of what is happening with this administration, not just in Portland metro area, but in other communities around our state. And, you know, we were really clear with the message that, you know, peaceful protesting is really important, right? It's the foundation of so much good in our country and a mechanism for durable change, and letting our federal government know that their actions are unconscionable.
You occupy kind of a unique position because as a mayor, you're doing the work and helping with the work of City Hall, but you're also concerned about citizens and safety. What is, when you look at the at a protest, like what's happening as we're speaking, what concerns you the most?
I'm not concerned at all seeing peaceful protest. I am heartened by it. Okay. I think seeing the group of young people who are gathered, and I have not been to that protest today, but knowing that there are people gathered in solidarity and petitioning their government to be better and to stop these unjust actions, that is to me a sign of health. And I do think that, you know, we've lived through a time of relative peace and prosperity over these past couple of generations in our country, and people might be a little bit disoriented to the fact that protest in many different ways is a very effective way of creating social change and lasting durable change in community. So I'm not concerned at all by seeing peaceful protest. The circumstances that concern me are something that I tried to speak to briefly earlier this week. And that is the very real challenge we face as a community as we try to preserve people's safety and de-escalate circumstances, but we are dealing with a partner in this federal administration who is not concerned about those same things, de-escalation and the safety of our community members. So as a mayor, that, you know, that does certainly raise my level of concern. And it's why you've heard me this week speaking very specifically to wanting people to remain safe. And it's important that we recognize that the very creative and successful examples of mass protests that we've seen in Minnesota, in Minneapolis, but also nearby in Portland with the Frog Brigade, you know, these are examples of how our creativity can be a support to justice, and that we are not, I am not looking for anyone to be in harm's way or to create a circumstance that allows for a legal argument that says people were in harm's way. I think peaceful protest and civil disobedience is, you know, these are rights that we have. And also it's important that people recognize that we are in really uncharted territory And we're working very hard as a city that feels responsible to our community members to try to ensure safety. But we are not in control of the federal agencies that are operating in our country. And the mayor is not in control of them. If I were in control of these circumstances, if I were in control of ICE, none of this would be happening. None of this would have even started. And all of our energies related to immigration would be focused on productive reform to support people, to bring capacity to our asylum system and to the legal processes that have been wildly undermined and underfunded and that we need to address. But instead, we're on this different path. And it's a path that I think, you know, doesn't take us to a good place, which is why the community standing together is so important.
Yeah. We think of you, many of us think of you as our mayor, but I also realize you're part of a club. You're part of a network of mayors throughout the United States. And I'm wondering, you know, during this really difficult time, have you had conversations with other mayors, perhaps even in St. Paul and Minneapolis, about what's going on? And are there, I don't know, lessons learned or just a kind of a sense, a collective sense of this is something we might not have ever seen before?
That is absolutely the case. And mayors across this country are grappling with circumstances that none of us have ever seen before. We are all also mayors in unique contexts with unique city charters and powers that we're given. And the mayor of Eugene has a very different charter and a very different extent of power than, say, the mayor of New York or Minneapolis or Los Angeles.
Sure.
However, it's incredibly important that we be learning from each other. And I'm very fortunate to have connected Eugene with an international city leadership initiative that has allowed me to build relationships with mayors all across our country and around the world. Absolutely. I mean, I was talking with a mayoral colleague yesterday about exactly these issues. We need to share insight. We need to share understanding of what we're seeing that's effective. And, you know, I will also say that those connections and that insight have helped me to be prepared for the playbook that we have seen rolling out across our country. We know from looking at larger cities that, and this helped in our preparations for what happened in Portland with this administration's efforts to federalize the National Guard and roll out that military presence in Portland streets. We knew from conversations with other mayors, and I knew from direct conversations with other mayors, that the way that this administration was seeking to create an environment where that response would be acceptable was by flooding the community with misinformation about crime and about, you know, violent people who are running rampant and that cities are not capable of addressing local law enforcement needs. And it was a very concerted campaign that you saw in other cities before this administration pushed a federal presence into them. And so we were ready for that in Portland, and I spoke very explicitly to the fact that there was no insurrection happening here, there's no emergency, there is nothing of the sort happening in Oregon. And, you know, that's one part of the way that we can stay ahead of this. But we are also, you know, mayors are in continuous conversation trying to learn from one another about what local actions can be effective to stop, to dissuade, to mitigate the impacts of this federal trajectory, and then also just to how do we mobilize community and keep people connected and build trust. That's an equally important part of this work because, you know, we're still going to the future together, and I never want for the actions of this administration or any administration to completely blot out the sun and keep us as a community from focusing on what we can do to deliver meaningful improvements to people's lives locally. But we have to deal with all of this at the same time. We are basically, you know, fighting on every front and working in every direction at the same time, pretty much every day of the week.
She's Eugene's mayor, Karen Knutson. Given that people are seeing the things that they're seeing, is there a way in which someone like yourself, the mayor and your council and whatnot, can use that as a way to sort of bring the community together?
I do think that we are seeing that locally, and I think we are especially seeing that nationally because the breadth the base of people who have mobilized to stand up against what's happening in Minneapolis and in other cities across the country, that is not, it's not a partisan conversation that's happening. It is very clearly a community speaking to the fact that they see obvious injustice and it's not okay. And I think what's important in this moment, something that is instructive to me is that, well, two things. First of all, we're seeing strategic response. We're seeing organized response and efforts to not just react and demonstrate our emotional reaction, but efforts to bring people together and mobilize a response that will be impactful. That's incredibly important. The other piece that I think is instructive from Minneapolis is that there's very little gatekeeping in the way that mass protest has come about. People are heartbroken, outraged, horrified by what they've seen close in their community. And that alone is enough to say we are standing together and we're going to take this first step. Why I think that is inspiring and powerful is that whenever community can connect and agree to take a step forward, even if it's the simplest increment, that is progress. And it's evidence that we can take those steps. And so I do think that there are ways. I said the other night at the incredibly powerful vigil that was organized by our local healthcare workers for Alex Pretty, that we are going to emerge on the other side of this stronger. It won't be because this is easy. It won't be because we wanted this to happen. But it's because we are going to reinforce bonds of community. We're going to build muscles we don't have. We're going to find new ways to trust and believe in the future. And then we're going to work towards those things. And I think when people know each other, when they know that they can rely on people and trust them to stand with them, even in those simplest steps, that is incredibly meaningful because we take that memory with us into the future. And then we get to lean on that in every other future conversation about progress and social change.
Karen Knutson, always appreciate talking to you. Thanks so much for coming in under these difficult times. Really appreciate your words.
Thank you, Michael. I appreciate it. And everyone, stick together.
That's the show for today. All episodes of Oregon on the Record are available as a podcast at klcc.org. Tomorrow on the show, the head of the Eugene Chamber joins us to talk about an effort to bring more business people into the political arena. I'm Michael Dunn, host of Oregon on the Record. Thanks for listening.